ain't heard about Moto Casino?
Moto has real Vegas slots. Any game you can find on the floor in Vegas, you can play it on Moto.
I like my slots hot.
Moto's free to play, like food stamps. In line at the grocery store, at a funeral, in traffic. Keep your eyes on the road. Hop on Moto Casino. Moto Casino got jackpots that are bigger than my belly. Moto, America's hottest free-to-play social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino.
The Burt Show.
All right, let's get back to the teacher vent line here. 404-255-3535 is the number. And if you're a teacher and you're frustrated with anything going on, could be another teacher, could be administration, could be one of your students, could be the parents to one of your students, which
That's
is really what we're doing.
That's usually what it is. It's mostly gripes about the parents.
Then you give our vent line a call, and it sort of is working as your therapist. You just go ahead and dump there because you can't say these things to the parents, and you feel better about things. So this is our fourth now teacher vent line.
Your child is with me more hours of the day than they are with you. So if you expect them to behave and not get in trouble, then discipline needs to start at home. That's not what we do at school.
All right, again, so we're going to see probably the same reoccurring thing. Teachers don't have a problem with the kids.
Right.
It's when they get back to you guys, man.
Just want to let you know, teacher assistants have been furloughed 10 days. We make poverty level salary as it is. You got to understand, single mom just can't do it on a poverty level. Hey, get it together. I have valuable things to do with my own time, whether it be pouring my heart and energy into lesson plans and creative activities to keep your lazy children attentive in my classroom, or whether it be personal things. Believe it or not, we have a life outside of school. I love kids. That's why I became a teacher. There's nothing in me that gets excited about having to discipline a kid. Thanks. Appreciate it. Bye. I just want to say I'm tired of everyone giving us furlough days. I make just enough money each month to pay the bills in the household and buy groceries and maybe have enough for gas, and then you're going to take out $200 out of my paycheck for the month? How about you do something else and cut the administrators pay when they're getting bonuses and they can go on vacations that cost thousands and thousands of dollars?
And Melissa and Jen just both nodding their head yes.
We're both daughters of teachers, and I just think that teachers just, oh my God, I don't understand why they're not the most celebrated profession in this country and the highest paid.
Well, and for more furloughs coming too. I mean, to me, it seems like they're having to do major, major budget cuts. And I just heard this morning that they're having to close 4 schools in Decatur.
Is that right?
Oh, wow.
Well, I mean,
budgetary cuts?
Close them. Like, close. Like, nobody works there anymore. Wow. You know? And I think they're still trying to decide which ones those are going to be. But yeah, you'd rather take a furlough than everybody get fired, you know?
I am a high school teacher and extremely disappointed with the writing of most of my high school students. At this point, most of them are writing on elementary levels, and with the anticipation of going through college, the worst thing that we are doing as educators is allowing these students to pass through these grades and not give them what they need to be able to function as literate writers. It's very frustrating. Parents don't understand it. It's all about test scores. Policymakers don't understand it. They're not in the classrooms. They're not dealing with these students who don't care, who don't want to be there, who want to make a grade, move on, but don't want to do the work.
Let me step in there for just 1 second and sound like an old guy. Because from time to time, I'll get emails from some of our college interns. Mm-hmm. And I blame this on the internet and Twitter right here. But man, it is so bad. Like if some of our college interns are writing resumes or cover letters, the way they are writing emails, professional emails to us, they are never going to get a job.
Correct.
That's usually the first line of defense for me. Like with our collegiate interns, if they can't send me like a complete formal email and be able to email me a resume that looks like a formal resume, I don't even accept them for a phone interview. And then after the phone interview, you know what I'm saying? Like it goes in steps, but that to me is the first line of defense. If you send something that's got misspellings or all lowercase, or you're using, C-U-Z instead of because, then it's not going to happen. It's just not.
It's almost like an age definer now, and I'm not sure what it is. Maybe 28 or older, you're still using capital letters and punctuation. And under 28, you're not.
Well, and the thing is, you say you sound like an old guy, but guess who's hiring you? It is going to be the old guys. Right. So, I mean, I just, that's cute and everything and having slang and doing all this stuff. But when you, yes, you're in the professional world, you have to be professional and be able to adjust to that. You can do the C-U-Z with your friends.
Uh-huh.
But when you're trying to be, trying to get a job, you get to spell it right.
I've been really surprised by that, you know, and these, these students are inevitably going to grow up and be teachers also. So are they're learning the basics in school, right? But they're just not applying it in the social networking world. Is that right?
I think so. Yeah. I mean, you have to think about it. Like teenagers now have never grown up without a cell phone or texting.
Yeah.
You know, they don't know what life would be like without it.
Right.
I am sick of administration asking why my failure rate is so high when 20% of my students have missed at least 15 days this year.
Parents, if you're going to have your son, daughter in a literature class, do not tell them it's okay to watch the movie instead of reading a book.
No!
Oh, my God.
I used to do that.
Oh, no.
But your parents didn't tell
me to do
that.
My parents never told me to do it. No, but I did it.
I mean, I failed a test because I watched Gone with the Wind and didn't read it. Yes, I know. Okay. But yes, Millie Pete never said, well, honey, don't worry about it. Just get the Cliff Notes or watch the movie.
Oh,
what?
Bad parents.
The Cliff Notes are awesome.
No, no, no. I mean, Cliff Notes can help you, but yeah, watch the movie instead of reading the book at all.
But the parents saying it is the thing. Of course, you know. I tried it.
It's funny.
First of all, I have a problem with the parents. How in Sam Hill do you have a sixth grader in private school or public school and they can't even read? I have a problem that I have to teach your sixth grader phonics in a private school. Hello? Throwing money at the problem is not going to fix it. You should have sat down with them when they were in kindergarten and first grade and helped your teacher. But no, no. Everything's always the teacher's fault. That's absolutely ridiculous. And that's all I have to say. Thank you.
End of messages.
All right, so sort of the same sentiment there.
Why? I know I'm not a parent, but why have children if you're not actually going to involve yourself in their life? Why have children? Why have children? Just don't have children.
Hey, Heather, good morning. You're on Q100.
Hi. I was listening to the teacher vent line, and if teachers are upset about the furloughs or the merit pay system, I really want to urge all teachers, it's email your senator week. Let them know that you're upset. Get the message out there because there's not a lot that we can do when we don't have unions. So get on Facebook, join Georgians Against Merit Pay, find out information, do anything that you can to let your senators and lawmakers know that they need to stop furloughing us and they need to not let that merit bill get through and become a law. So.
And I would suggest if you write them a letter, go ahead and use capital letters and punctuation, commas and periods and stuff like that. That
I think
help.
Senators respond to correct spelling.
Proper grammar would be good.
Yes.
Hey, Jill, good morning. You're on The Burt Show.
Good morning. I'm a teacher. And when I went to college, I remember one of my teachers telling us a child has a right to his or her own language, except in the workforce.
Mm-hmm.
So they can punctuate incorrectly and jive and do all that stuff that they want to do while they're kids and while they're with their families and all. But the minute you start in that workforce, I'm sorry, you have to adapt.
People need to tell them that.
But
they do.
How do you adapt if you're not educated to do that?
Or if you're not doing it consistently, right?
If the teachers aren't doing their job and telling them just that, fine, you talk how you want to. But in the workforce, you've got to be like everybody else.
Mm-hmm.
But you got parents who then are saying, well, my child was raised this way and this is how they're supposed to be. Well, fine, but they're not going to get a job.
Mm-mm.
There's a part of me that, I don't know, there's a part of me that doesn't fully, I get where everybody's diverse. But if you're in a classroom or in a workforce, I don't necessarily agree with the teacher saying, well, you can write however you want, you can talk like, no, when you're in the classroom, there's a certain standard that should be applied to everybody.
Mm-hmm.
And I just think that I don't know. Sometimes Bert always uses the word, in sports, like weak or whatever. And sometimes I think we're getting weak in school.
Soft.
Like, you know what?
Yeah.
We're getting too soft in school. I really think so. I think the administration does not let the teachers have the power in the classroom. And that is who you need to be intimidated by your teacher and want to
sit. You can't be anymore. They can turn around, they can sue you, and then they go to their parents.
And I think that's horrible. I think that's horrible to do that. I think we're getting soft in school, absolutely.
I agree.
And
I think we're getting soft as parents, too.
Yeah,
totally.
I do, too.
The Burt Show. Moto Casino is pure American energy.
born in the USA and with the same 1776 spirit that built this country. Modo, America's social casino, is celebrating that freedom with a 1 million sweeps coin prize giveaway. One lucky American is going to win 1 million sweeps coins. So what are you waiting for? Spin now on Modo Casino.
Download the Modo Casino app today.
Modo Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Modo.us for more details.
Modo Casino. America's social casino.
The Burt Show.
All right, so let's just get you all caught up with Callie. You remember her from when we left, right before we left for Burt's Big Adventure.
The whole family is going to go on vacation, and I'm really excited to go with them. Their aunt has a house in Tampa, and the younger sister was supposed to bring her boyfriend, but they broke up. So she's like, oh, I'm going to bring my friend Valerie. And my boyfriend came up to me, and he's like, I just want you to know. He goes, I don't want this to be weird, but Valerie and I dated all throughout high school.
All right, so that was right before we left for Burt's Big Adventure. So right. She got a whole bunch of different advice.
Well, yeah, because the ex-girlfriend was really best, you know, close friends with the sister, so the sister had invited her. Mm-hmm. So it wasn't the boyfriend that invited her, and it wasn't the parents that invited her. It was the sister. So we were wondering, was she going to say anything at all? Was she going to go? I don't know.
And Melissa, I think you were the one that thought that this was really more about the sister.
Well, I just didn't trust the fact.
And Callie.
Yeah, I just didn't trust that the sister invited the ex, because I mean, are they best friends? I don't know. But I just feel like if my sister, for instance, had dated this guy for all through high school, and then later on, we were on the Carter family vacation, bring in Melanie's new boyfriend, there is no way in my mind I think, you know what, I'm going to bring the ex-boyfriend on the trip too, because he's my buddy. I don't know. I just think the sister knew what she was doing.
Yeah, if you're close to your family, then you're sensitive to that situation.
Yeah.
You don't invite.
Yeah.
Here's Callie. She's back. Hey, Callie.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Good. How are you?
I'm good.
Did you actually go on this vacation?
We did.
You did?
Yeah. And
okay.
We left on Thursday.
All right. So how did you handle it beforehand? Because some people were saying you should talk to your boyfriend about it. Others were saying just take the high road and don't say anything at all. So how did you handle it even before you took off?
Before we took off, I just decided to take the high road. You know, listen to what everybody was saying about it. I didn't really want to seem weird or like high maintenance, so I just kind of took the high road and didn't say anything and was hoping that everything would work out okay.
And that was against your advice, right, Jen? You said you have to at least sit the dude down and talk to him about it.
Yeah, my advice was to definitely tell your boyfriend and just say, you know, I'm just a little uncomfortable with this, you don't have to do anything about it, but I just want you to be aware of it. To me, because I thought that opened up some sort of line of communication between the two of you, because it's not just about him and the relationship. Like, you have to set your own boundaries. Well, what's okay with you, too? So that's what I thought would have happened. But I also understood the perspective of people thinking, well, if she does that, then she's whiny or she's a diva or whatever else, you know?
And once again, they've only been dating since what, October or November?
August.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right.
It's a good bit of time.
Yeah. Okay. So you decide not to say anything to him whatsoever. All right.
And, you know, at first, like, everything was really cool. We actually all drove down in different cars. His family was in one car, and then his sister and Valerie were in another car, and then we were in another car. So, you know, everything was really cool. And when we got there, we were all having a great time. And then I was kind of bummed because then we had to, we couldn't stay in the same room because his parents don't like that. They're really old-fashioned. So so they actually put me in the room with the girls, with Valerie.
Oh, no.
Oh, great. That's
fantastic.
It went from bad to worse.
Fantastic.
Okay.
Yeah.
Did you guys interact at all?
I'm sorry?
Did you guys interact, get along at all?
Well, we did. That's actually when things really started to get weird.
Okay.
You know, she seemed really nice and really cool and stuff, and then, you know, that's when things kind of started taking a weird turn. And she was asking me questions that I felt like had a really specific point to him. Like, she would say stuff like, well, like, does he still do this and this? And
oh,
I told
God,
you that he would do
this.
So it made it seem like that she knew him better than I did.
Yeah.
But she was trying to just get her point across that it was that she really did know him and she does know him.
Yeah, I mean, they went out all through high school, right?
Yeah, but it just seemed really territorial to me, like when she did that.
Yeah.
And
that sucks that you had to hear all that.
I would never do that to someone, if you know what I mean, if I were in that situation, because it definitely seems like you're kind of staking that you've got a higher claim there.
Is that a calculated move on her part, or
yes.
is this, it was?
Absolutely. Yes. Absolutely. He was the hydrant, and she was the dog.
Okay.
And she was like, yeah, marking her territory.
Gotcha.
Yeah. She,
yeah. Very much so.
And that's why I don't trust that sister.
Yeah, I was kind of like, okay.
did you and the sister get along? How did the sister treat you?
The sister, I mean, she was just very neutral. You know, she was really nice. She didn't seem weird or anything. You know, so that, it just mostly was coming out from, so at that point, it seemed like it was really mostly just coming from her side.
No, she was loving it because she was sitting back and watching this thing explode, like the way she wanted it to. I mean, she set you up.
Yeah.
And then they, you know, like I said, that's kind of when things started turning, because then, like, the rest of the time that we were there, she was very flirty with him. Like, a couple of times she actually, like, touched his arm and, like, laughed. Yeah, and that's not cool. I was just like, oh, my gosh. And he didn't, you know, he's not reading anything into it, but I, as a girl, I totally knew.
Oh, wow.
And then here's the part where I said the sister was really cool. But then at one point, his sister asked me to go to the store with her to grab things for some groceries. And I was like, okay. And she's like, oh, do you mind coming with me? She's like, because, you know, Valerie's, you know, still asleep and stuff. I'm like, no, you know, I'll totally go with you. And so we got back from the store, and Valerie was supposedly sleeping, but she was totally up and fully made up. And at every point in the trip, it took her, like, a long time to get ready. Like, she would do her hair and her makeup. So it should have taken her a really long time. Like, that meant that she was already up and ready. But when I got back from the store, you know, it was clear that she had already been up. So I think her sister kind of worked together with her on that point to sort of get me out of the house.
Wow.
I knew it. Well, because you were trying to get back with anybody, then you go through their siblings to not to be indirect. And if her sister and if they were in high school together and the sister and her got close in school, then they totally had a conversation about this, and that's why the sister brought her.
So was this rude. Was this late enough in the trip that it didn't bother you the rest of the I mean, because if this happens on the first day, your whole vacation is ruined. Did this happen at least late enough in the trip where it didn't matter all that much?
This is towards the beginning, and I was really trying to keep it together. And, you know, his parents, I really don't believe his parents have an agenda at all anymore. You know, we're all just kids to them. But they were doing stuff like pictures of him and Valerie and being like, oh, my gosh, you guys are so funny, you know. And then one time, this is the part where I really just, this was a big turning point for me. We were watching movies, and me and my boyfriend were, like, sitting in side-by-side recliners, and Valerie came in and was like, oh, my gosh, what are y'all watching? And then she sat down in front of my boyfriend on the floor and put her back up against me.
No!
What?
Now, wait a second. What did your boyfriend do?
What's
his role in all this?
I mean, he seemed a little, like, he was a little stiff, you know, when she did that, so I don't think he was, like, overly... Like, for Seth, I mean, that had made him uncomfortable, but I was just like, you know what, that is it. Like, she's already been touching his arm, and now she's, like, leaning up against him while we're watching a movie together.
How long
it
did she
so
sit there? My question is, what did your boyfriend do physically when she did that?
He got kind of stiff, you
but
know,
he didn't
and
move
sort
her.
Of, like... He didn't move, but he just kind of kept looking over to me, and, like, at one point he touched my arm. So I felt like he was being reassuring because he did touch my arm, you know, and sort of, you know, seemed stiff about it. But I really could not. I was like, I can't do this anymore.
Sure.
Saturday night, I just was like, you know what? I finally told him. I was like, I really feel uncomfortable with, you know, Valerie. And I'm so sorry if it seems weird, but I just feel like, I just can't handle this. And so we actually left on Saturday night. And my boyfriend actually, he thought I was, like, overreacting, but not in a bad way. He was like, well, I think you're kind of taking this the wrong way, or, you know, you're making a big deal of it. He goes, but it's totally fine. If you're not comfortable, then we can leave. So we left on Saturday night. So I couldn't handle it anymore.
Did you have to come up with an excuse on why you were leaving, or did you just tell the parents exactly why? Or
no, we didn't tell the parents anything. You know, the boyfriend just kind of was like, yeah, we're just, I think we're going to head on out and, you know, just get back. There's a lot of stuff that I need to do. So we kind of, like, took the the hit for me. He said there was a lot of stuff that he needed to do, and which was nice.
There's too much protecting of this girl going on, you know?
Mm-hmm. How serious are you about this guy?
I really love him. I've gotten to the point where I really think I'm completely in love with him.
I don't know that he's over this girl. I don't know. I've got two schools of thought on it. I would say this, like 80% of guys we always think that our women are overreacting to the situation that's right in front of us because we don't think it's a big deal.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Now, when she sat like in between, you know, like right next to him and started touching on him, that probably should have been the red flag. But most guys don't see the clues that women see.
Yeah, I don't think he's acting any sort of maliciously or he has feelings for her at all. I think he's probably trying to keep the peace. Like, he didn't want to have a big reaction when she sat on the and leaned on the did she sit on the floor and lean on the recliner?
Did she what? Sorry?
Yeah, she was on the floor.
So she sat on the floor and just leaned on the recliner, like where his legs were, right?
Where his legs were, yeah. Her back was on his shin.
Okay. Yeah, he should have probably hopped up and said, hey, why don't you just take my seat? I'll sit on the floor and sat on the floor in front of you. But like, he might not have been thinking. And then like you said, get stiff and uncomfortable and what do I do? I don't want to cause a scene, but I also know this is probably not right. Like, I don't think that it's completely 100% his fault or reflects his feelings. I think he's probably way over this girl. She's been friends with the family a long time. He's totally moved on with you and obviously brought you, and you were the priority because when you said you were uncomfortable, he left.
Don't you think that eventually, like, it's probably either today or tomorrow, if it hasn't happened already, that the follow-up text from the ex is coming. Like, now all of a sudden they're in the same room together. They're spending time. She obviously still has feelings for him. Don't you think she's going to act on those and call him?
I do. I mean, she totally made it clear that, I mean, she was flirting with him. And the bad thing is that, like, I feel like, I mean, obviously his sister,
he's chosen her.
Helped her out. So,
yes. Yeah, the reason I ask good luck to end your relationship, but I just think that this is not the first time that you're going to have to deal with this. Mm-hmm. And the fact that you, I'm trying to think of my parents, if somebody left in the middle of a vacation, regardless of what is going on, they were left there confused and asked questions, and the only people left behind to answer those questions were the sister and the ex-girlfriend.
And his mom probably saw what was going on. I doubt his dad did, but I bet had he come forward with the mom, she would have said, I understand it.
Mm-hmm. Or she doesn't. She thinks you were rude, and she likes the ex-girlfriend better, too.
When is the next time you're supposed to hang out with his family? Is there anything on this?
There's nothing like on the agenda, really,
That's a tough spot.
Yeah, I don't know.
That sister.
That's a tough spot. Here is Tracy. Good morning. You are on Q100. What's up, Tracy?
It's more a message for, like, men out there. It's just always so funny. Men smell other sharks circling in the water, so why don't they trust us when we smell other barracuda in the water?
That's a really good point.
You know, it's like, yes, men are, you are oblivious. God love you at times. But, I mean, yeah, she was totally right on her instincts. And, I mean, I think she needs to still kind of just talk to him, especially if the texts and the phone calls come, because I'll bet the farm they are.
I think for me it comes from like a lack of ego thing. It would be more like, there's no way there's no way she's interested in me. You're making things up right there.
But flip it around. If you were a guy and your girlfriend and was taking you on vacation with her family and her ex-boyfriend was coming, would you be okay with that?
No.
Then why is this any different?
No. Hey, good morning, Karen. You're on the Burt Show. What's up?
Hey, I just wanted to comment. I think the ex-girlfriend is totally playing the sister here, too. I don't know if the sister's really, you know, that guilty she is, but I think the ex-girlfriend is playing the sister, getting close to her so she can get close to the brother.
So what does she do now, though? She's obviously in this nasty situation where she doesn't have a whole bunch of allies in the family. So what do you do?
I think you just keep moving on with your life. They don't live in town, right? I mean, the next time she's going to see him is maybe over the summer, maybe 4th of July picnic or something.
But the ex-girlfriend's in town.
The ex-girlfriend lives here.
Well, I don't think that you need to, I don't think you need to focus that much attention on it. I think you just let her go. And if it comes up again where she's going to be around the family, then bring it up and have a conversation with him. But now I say just let her drift away.
I always say when in doubt, charm the mom. And I always think that you should probably send a thank you note to the mom. Thank you so much for allowing me to be on vacation with you guys. I had such a good time. I'm sorry I had to leave early, but look forward to seeing you again. Charm the mother and you have the son.
Mm-hmm. Great idea.
Yeah, that is a good idea.
All right, Callie, let's check back with you in a couple of weeks. I'd love to see how this thing unfolds, you know?
Okay.
All right, good luck. You're in a tight spot. That is a really tight spot right
there. Get the parents on your side and everything's good.
Okay, that's good advice. Thank you.
All right, we'll talk to you in a couple of weeks, okay?
Okay, thanks.
Right, bye-bye.
The Burt Show.
John Daly here. You know what day it is? Neither do I. I live life daily. That's why I only spin on Moto Casino. Moto's got daily free bonuses, daily tournaments, new slots added daily. And the best part? Guaranteed daily jackpots. You can't beat that. So today's the day you grip it and spin it with me on Moto. America's social casino. Play for free on Moto.us.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details. Download the Moto Casino app today. Must be 21 plus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
The Burt Show.
Excited to do this. This has become my favorite segment on The Burt Show.
Really?
Love Lost and Found. Love Lost and
Found. Because you believe in destiny.
Destiny, man.
That's right.
There was a reason why Jason was on that shuttle, and the reason why she was on that shuttle. And he even told us the last time we had her on, like, his flight was delayed, her flight was delayed. I mean, it shouldn't have happened.
Right place, right time.
Destiny has brought them together.
There they are.
And here we are. Hey, Jason.
Hey, guys.
What's going on, man?
Excited, nervous, you name it, I'm feeling
it. You got some sweaty palms even though you're just on the phone.
Like you were telling us right before Burt's Big Adventure that you never even saw the cues. I mean, they were there, but you were so stressed out to get to the hotel that you never even picked up on it.
That's right. It was just, a lot of things happened before I even got to the shuttle station, you know, and I was just kind of lost, you know, wasn't sure, you know, where I was supposed to go. Wasn't even know where the shuttle spot was. And so when I finally got there, I was just like, okay, finally, you know, I can get to my hotel. Now I just got to wait. And that's when she came down the escalator.
And really the only thing we had to go on is that she was an AirTran flight attendant mm-hmm. and that Soulja Boy was on her flight.
Right.
And based on those two things, we got a bunch of calls and a bunch of messages and postings saying, I think I know who this is.
That's awesome.
So we found her.
Okay.
Now, at this point, though, we don't know if she's in a long-term relationship. We don't know if she's married, didn't have her ring on.
Right.
We don't know anything. And we don't know if you were vibing and she wasn't. So this really could go any way, dude.
Okay.
But at least you'll have some closure.
Yeah, clear your throat.
All right.
Don't choke this time.
Yeah, talk to her.
All right, are you feeling confident?
I'm good.
All right, let's do this. Good morning, Barbara.
Hi, good morning, guys.
How are you this morning?
I'm pretty well. How are you?
I'm good. We have to actually rewind, okay, to last, Wednesday.
Wednesday.
Mm-hmm. How did you hear that we were looking for you? Did people start calling you?
I was receiving phone calls, Facebook messages, text messages. The biggest kicker was Facebook. A friend sent me a message and I kept reading about the Soulja Boy thing on the flight, and I mean, I had him on my flight, but, you know, there was a couple other flight attendants, but then as soon as she said the loaf of bread, I was like, oh, my God, that was me.
And refresh my memory again, like, you carry around a loaf of bread on your flights?
I don't necessarily carry a loaf of bread. I just had come from unveiling our newest aircraft, mm-hmm. and I literally had 5 minutes to pack. So I grabbed everything that was already packaged in my kitchen, and it included a loaf of bread.
Oh, my God, that's funny.
That's funny. That is really funny.
So we got to remember that when we're doing Love, Lost, and Found, that any little clue like that is a big clue.
That was the clincher here, yeah.
Because it wasn't the Soulja Boy clue. It was the bread clue that got us here. All right, so after your flight, you end up on this hotel shuttle, and do you remember having a conversation with this guy, Jason, that we're going to put you on with in a couple of seconds?
I remember not having a full conversation. I remember who he was. I have no sense of direction, and apparently neither did our crew that night, because we all got on the wrong shuttle, going in the wrong direction for 30 minutes and ended up in Arlington, Texas, and we were supposed to be in Dallas.
Okay. Oh.
So, yeah, we weren't even supposed to be on that shuttle, but we were all having our little conversations, and I do remember looking over to him and asking him if he was a normal person or a crew. So, yeah, I don't know. I mean, we all just kind of, you know, talked a little bit at the back of the shuttle, so.
When you found out that there was a guy that was looking for you like this, were you flattered by it or were you a little freaked out?
I was both. I definitely had mixed feelings. I mean, I definitely was flattered. I can't believe he went out of his way to announce it to the, you know, on the radio. But at the same time, it's like, okay, is this creepy stalker kind of flattery or... I don't know. It was a lot of different feelings. So,
well, only time will tell if this is creepy stalker guy.
Yeah.
Way to make her feel better about it, Bert.
At this point, he could be potentially like destiny guy. Could end up creepy. Oh. Who knows?
No. Well, we have to ask about your status. What's your relationship status?
My status is I don't have a boyfriend.
Okay.
However, I'm sort of talking and have feelings for this guy that I really do care about, but he's currently serving in Iraq.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And I haven't seen him in a couple of years, but he's coming home in March, so I don't know how it's going to play out.
All right, this may be a story in itself here. So you're dating this guy years ago, and he left, and you haven't seen or communicated with him, or you have?
We haven't started communicating until about a month ago, but we haven't physically seen each other in 6 years.
Wow.
Did you find each other? You just found each other on Facebook, like old friends?
We were both always on Facebook, but being that he's over there, their communication is totally different.
Mm-hmm.
But we just started communicating again because he just got out of a relationship a little while ago, and I got out of a relationship back in October. So everything just kind of fell into place, and so I don't know. We started talking, and he surprised me saying he was granted a leave in March, and we're just going to see what happens.
Does he know you feel the way you do about him, or does he think this is just a friendship thing?
No, he definitely knows. We've been writing 2 or 3 letters a day, and Facebooking, and just messaging, and letters, and packages, and everything like that.
What's that Nicholas Sparks movie? This just came out.
Dear John, I know, right?
Yeah. Is it based on the same thing?
Well, yeah. It's kind of the same thing.
Yeah?
Kind of the same thing. I did read the book, and I think the ending probably will be a little different, but...
Don't say it!
I won't, I promise.
Well, Jason, boy, this dude's story is way better than yours.
Oh, dude.
Oh, I think
I
think you should keep it open. I think you should get Jason's info.
Sure.
And if military dude comes back, it may not be what you expect it to be when you're in person.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Right. No, and you know? I understand that. I definitely understand that.
Let's get Jason in on this whole thing. Hey, Jason.
Hey, guys. Hey, Barbara. Hello?
Hey.
Barbara, can you hear him?
Hi. Hello?
Hello?
I can hear him. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you guys.
How's it going?
I'm doing good. I was doing a lot better, you know, 5 minutes ago, but I mean, no, it's okay. You know, I mean, I knew this was a long shot, you know, but I knew that in Dallas, I just, you know, I didn't pick up on it, and I just want to get to know you. You know, you seem like a very interesting girl, and I'd like to see if this can go anywhere.
From a distance.
I'm sorry?
From a distance at first, through email. And, you know, you heard exactly what she said about this dude in Iraq, right?
I heard every word.
Oh, gosh. I don't want to be the bad guy.
You're not.
You know, I took this shot, and really, it's, if I make a fool of myself, that's already been done, so you don't even got to worry about it, you know?
No, self-deprecation, and I think agree with Jen. I think,
don't close the door
Don't close the door, because,
I understand that she's really focused on this other guy at this point, but there's no harm in exchanging information or maybe going to meet for a coffee to see.
Mm-hmm. I completely agree, so.
Okay, good.
All right. So guess what? I just got you a yes.
Yeah.
that was the hard sell right there. We should just stop. We got to
stop.
Yes.
Stop right there.
Yeah. So y'all go have a coffee.
And Jason, I'm proud of you for even making a shot. I mean, most people would go, you know what? Mm-hmm. That time, it's past. Forget it. And who knows, man? You never know.
I just felt like I had to do something, you know, put it out there and see what happens.
Sure.
That's right. Really, and you can get a coffee.
Why don't we do this? Jason, why don't we give Barbara your information? And when she's ready to give you a call, if she's open to it, then she'll give you a call.
Okay.
That sound cool?
That sounds fine.
Okay.
All right.
All right, Barbara. Thanks a lot for being so cool and coming on with us and telling. I'm really interested now in your story with the dude in the military.
Now we're focused on Jason. Okay?
Well, I'm kind of excited about this.
Because
it's a cool
the military, but hold on. One thing at a time.
I'm with the old and with the new, man.
One thing at a time.
It's a new
ADD.
Day.
He's already moved on.
He's like a squirrel. No, one thing at a time. Because I do think that you should call Jason, and the military dude's not coming for a couple weeks. So go ahead and have coffee. Go do this first, and then when he comes back, when Jason's not on the phone listening, then we'll talk to her about a military
okay.
Coffee's innocent.
So, Bert, don't.
Hey, Jason, before we let you go here, hey, Philip, go ahead. You're on Q100. What's up?
Hey, guys. How are you guys doing?
Good.
Okay, how are you?
Hey, I'm Philip, Jason's brother.
Yeah.
Jason?
What's up, bro?
How you doing?
I'm doing all right, man.
Look, all I know is it's okay. She got this thing going on with this other guy, but she's far away. It's a long distance thing, and like they said, you know, just sit down, have a cup of coffee. Don't give up on this, man.
All right.
Don't give up on this. And Barbara, you sound like a sweet girl. All right.
Thank you.
But you know, the signs were there. Whether my brother took it wrong or you know, it. You know, all I know is you guys met each other out of like the weirdest conditions. You know.
So, I completely agree. No, I think the circumstances were something to look at, and I mean, we did sit on the runway for 3.5 hours trying to get de-iced, and I wasn't supposed to be in Dallas at that time. I wasn't supposed to be on that shuttle, and I mean, I can definitely see where he took it. I mean, being a girl, you know, we do like that, so I definitely can see his point of view.
Now, would it be a totally crazy idea, since we're talking about destiny, that Jason really was the agent of destiny for Philip? His
what?
Brother
oh,
to be with Barbara.
Why is that so mean
I'm
to
just
Jason?
Saying, let's be open
you
up to all ideas.
Jason.
Going to have coffee.
Jason didn't do anything to you. Jason started this whole thing, and you
Philip,
just hate him.
Philip, we will set you up.
Why do you hate him?
We'll you're going to have dinner with Barbara.
You love this story.
Oh,
stop it.
I just hope my brother doesn't call in.
What is your beef with Jason?
I'm just saying, destiny works in weird ways. Philip really could be destined to be with Barbara.
Yeah.
You know, Bert.
Yes.
Oh, God.
This is my brother's thing, and I think you're a little bit, you know what, you're just straight up wrong. All right?
Jason is crawling himself into a hole right now.
No,
it's like my brother is calling in, and Bert's dogging on me, and this is in front of Barbara.
Philip, hold on. I'm going to hook you up with Barbara's digits. Hold on. Jason, thanks a lot for calling, man. And we will give your stuff to Barbara. And when she's ready and she's open to it, she'll give you a call, man.
All right.
Barbara, thanks for coming on with us, too. That's cool.
Hey, no problem. But I do have to say, he probably would have got better points if he didn't fly Delta on that day.
Oh, that was it.
Hey, The Bird Show.
Moro Casino. America's Social Casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino. America's Social Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
The Bird Show.
So Joanna, if she wasn't working on the staff, might email us because she's in a sort of an awkward position right now.
Okay.
Yeah. So, you know, Jason and I have been dating for 2 years now. Mm-hmm. And Jason's my fiance, in case you guys didn't know. But we've been dating.
Not boyfriend, but yeah.
Fiance. My fiance. He's married. I'm wearing his ring.
We live 2 hours away from one another. He lives in Columbus, Georgia, because he's stationed down there. And I live here in Atlanta. Well, when he's getting out of the Army and he's getting out this summer and he's going to go to school at Emory, and it's awesome and I'm really excited for him. But one of our biggest conversations lately is, do we move in with one another when he moves here in the summer? Because I've been telling him from day one, I don't want to move in until we're married. Mm-hmm. Okay. So now we're engaged. Is that the same as being married? But I don't want to compromise what I've been standing and saying, not till we're married, not till we're married. Engagement to me, does that say I can move in with him now, or should I still wait until we're married?
What was your reason behind not wanting to move in with each other up until now?
Well, there's a couple of reasons. You know, one, because of his side of the family, they're very like strict about that. Like, you don't live with one another until you get married. And granted, I shouldn't really care what his side of his family set thinks or whatever. Because
no, I think you should.
No, yeah. Yes, you have to respect
the
family.
I'm glad that that's important to you.
And it's very important. But some people say, well, it should be what you feel and don't.
Not when you're marrying him.
Right. And I want his parents to respect me as a lady and as a woman, as the person who's going to be with him for the rest of my life.
Because they're going to be your family, too. It's not just his parents. This is your family now.
Grant, right. Well, they do live out of town, so it's not like they would know if we did live together.
You don't want to do that.
They would know, and you would figure it out.
But even more important, you said, but what you want is to wait till you're married.
Yes, because I want there to be something different. I want there to be a difference between dating, engagement, and married. You know, I want the next day to pack up all my boxes and move into a place together so we can start that life together and our journey together as a married couple. I don't want it to go from living together, getting married, and still the same. You know, I know it's going to be the same, but I want there to be something different.
Well, my thought is that you have a say maybe in where he lives and where he moves to attend Emory, and then that you just know that that's the place that you'll move into once you're married, you know. But I don't see why you have to move in with him when he moves to Atlanta.
Well, because of financial reasons, because financially it would help him and I out if we lived together. It just, I don't know if it makes sense for us to both be renting two apartments but spending most of our times at one location.
But you're not renting now, right? You're back in with your folks.
No, I live at home. I mean, but I don't plan on still living there by next May. You know, I don't think I could do that.
You're thinking about moving up your engagement, your wedding date?
I wish I could, but no, we can't because we're paying for it ourselves. So we need that time to save as well.
Yeah, I think it's a good idea. If it's what you've always wanted, I think you stick to it, regardless of both rents. I mean, sometimes you just have to do things that aren't practical in order to carve out your life the way you want it to be. It doesn't always have to be practical. So stay with your parents till you get married.
Yeah. In fact, I'd say, you know, the more impractical, the better. Because, again, I mean, when you look at statistics, when it comes to marriage, most of them aren't working out. 60% of them aren't working out. So practical and traditional isn't working in our country. So I'm a big old fan of forging your own way.
Well, she's being impractical to end up
to
being
be traditional.
Right. But I think, I agree with Jen because, like, what decision would you regret the most?
I think that I would regret disrespecting his family.
That's the decision you don't do.
Yeah. Regardless of the sacrifice you have to make, either paying rent for yourself and for him or staying with your parents, that year it will fly by, and then all of a sudden it'll be a blip on the radar that's something that you guys had to pass through for the next year.
Because eventually you won't be in financial trouble. And then in the future you'll be like, God, if I had, it was only a year. Like Jen said, it was only a year. If I could have just sacrificed so that I got what I wanted and I could tell my children this story, whatever makes you proud to tell, because obviously that is something you wanted, you know?
Right.
Here is Jessica. Good morning, Jessica. You're on the Burt Show.
Hey, guys. What's up?
Hey.
Joanna, in all honesty, and I am in no way saying that this is going to happen to you, and I really hope it does work out for you. I got married to my now ex-husband. We did not live together before we moved in or before we got married. We moved in together and realized we could not live together. So
how long did you date?
We dated for a year beforehand, so you've got time on me, but I've realized you don't really know a person until you move in with them. You can see them in their at-home life and everything like that. Plus, it will kind of help you with finances if you're sharing a place. That way you're not putting so much into your rent. He's not putting into his rent. You can put just one rent and you have more to put away.
Well, as somebody who also has been through divorce, I think you always want to do the opposite of what you did the first time around. So, you know, whereas that's your advice because you guys didn't live together and then living together, you found all these problems. I would say the other way around. Like, I did live with my former husband before we got married. And if I ever got married again, I wouldn't want to live together. So you just don't want to repeat something you feel like was a mistake, or you want the pattern to be different the second time around. So I would say be careful in taking advice from somebody. You know, and that's why I didn't give you my personal take on it, because it comes from my personal experience. It's like your decision should be based on what you hold dear, the values you hold near to you, what's important to you with regard to his family.
And another thing that came to mind is that this has basically been a long distance relationship Yes. Up until this point. So I also think that, I mean, mainly based on what you want in your life, which is not to move in until you're married, but also the fact that going from long distance to moving in is a culture shock because he's been in Columbus and you've been here, so you haven't spent every day together, day in and day out. So there's a part of me that thinks there should be a transition where he lives in town, yes. but you don't live together into...
It's a very good point.
Like baby steps.
Yeah, we're going to... You know, we could take 100 calls on this and we'd get opinions on both sides. You know, for me, I think because I came from a divorced marriage... And my parents, it was an ugly, ugly divorce. Like, as a kid, I needed to be secure. Like, if I was getting into marriage, it was going to be one time and one time only. Mm-hmm. So I had to live with Stacy before I married her. I needed that peace of mind. But, you know, like I said, we're going to take 100 calls here. 50 people are going to agree. 50 are going to say right. no.
Well, I'd like to say that everyone says, oh, you don't really know someone until you live with them. And you don't know their habits. I'm not oblivious to Jason's bad habits. I know they're there. And I accept them. So it's not like I'm going to move in with him and then realize he's a messy person. I know that. I go there on the weekends and I see how messy he is. I know that I'm going to have to throw out all the rotten food he has in the refrigerator because he hasn't done it for a month. So I'm not afraid of that.
Do you know he downloads porn 7 hours a day?
Yeah, because I see it all the time on his computer.
That's the kind of thing that you might find out. You don't
never know.
She's like, right. It's all not his, so duh. Yeah. Don't make assumptions.
Hey, Lori, you're on the Burt Show, Q100. Hi.
Hey, you guys.
Hey.
Oh, my goodness. Joanna, I applaud you. I did it. My husband and I have been married 10 years now, and we did not move in before we were married. We held out. We even built a house. No one moved into the house. The house sat still for a month because it was done before our wedding date.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a story that we tell our two kids now that, you know, it was a sweet engagement. It was a nice courtship. When you get married, you're going to go through an adjustment period. It's not, everybody's not going to be perfect. You're not going to be perfect, honey, because Jason's going to probably tell you about some things that, you know,
that concept is so foreign to Joanna that she might not be perfect. She doesn't understand that.
Yeah, I am. Part of the adjustment period that's going to be so wonderful, and that's going to solidify your love for him and his love for you. So hold out, wait a year. I mean, people make it too easy. Hold out. I mean, you enjoy the courtship.
Mm-hmm. Thanks, Lori.
And you know, I've in the past been publicly critical about people who live at home, except in the recession. You get a pass on the recession, but unless you're planning on something, and this is something big, this is your marriage. Because my best friend growing up did the same thing she did. It wasn't building a house, but they had an apartment that sat empty, and then they saved money to buy furniture in that time to go into that apartment as they were planning their wedding, so that on their wedding night, that is where they went before they took their trip somewhere else. So, I mean, I do think
that's cool. You know, that's a great idea.
It
and
is.
So if you lived at home and you are saving money for a specific purpose, which is to furnish someplace or for your wedding, whatever, I think that's justified, you know?
I don't know if this helps or not, but I know looking back at it now, I mean, I've been married 13 years now. 13 years. Same woman, 16 years. And looking back at it now, it wouldn't have mattered one way or the other. Had we moved in with each other beforehand or not, looking back at it, man, it seems so foreign to me. It just wouldn't have mattered.
Really?
I think to a guy, is it different for a guy, though, in what you want before your wedding day?
Well, I think there's less pressure on a guy of being judged.
Right.
Right? Like, you know, the families or whatever, I feel like are going to judge the woman in that decision more than they're going to judge
Maybe
the guy,
so.
Regardless.
Yeah.
Not to take credibility away what you said, but I'm just wondering if Stacy has the same opinion.
I don't know. We could get her on.
You know,
I don't think
curious.
She listens to this morning show. Hey, Rachel, good morning. You're on Q100. Hi.
Good morning, guys.
Hey.
I just want to say, like, when I met my husband, we were both in a foreign country, and it was definitely... rent-wise, it was much cheaper to live together. And so we started living together 2 weeks after we even met each other, which is crazy. But and then when we moved to Atlanta, we kept on living together. And we went through the whole engagement living together, and then we got married, and we're still married now, and it's going great. And I personally recommend it just because you grow. I mean, getting married and all of a sudden living together and learning everybody's habits, I mean, it's an adjustment period, and to... You have these high expectations, and you build yourself up to your wedding day, and then all of a sudden, you know, you're living together. You have all this, I guess it's like the wedding blues. And when people live together for that
for all of a sudden, and then they just get freaked out, and they have all these fights, and I just think it's such a great idea to know what it's all about. And if she's already living at home, just stay there maybe and kind of live part-time with him and then live part-time at home. That way it's not a full-time commitment at his place.
I've got the solution. Move him in with your parents and there live there
you
for your entire marriage.
Well, that's a great idea.
Maybe that's what we need. That'll help the divorce rate.
My mom does like baking him cakes and stuff, so I think he would like that too.
He would love that. But her point is valid about if you guys do fight and have an argument in the home, that's a little different than arguing 2 hours away. So if you live together, you have to deal with that. Where do you go? Do you stay in the house when you argue? Do you go to separate rooms? Do you separate on that point?
That's going
to
happen anyway, though. Yeah. Right? You don't fight anyway.
And we had that conversation just the other day. I said, well, what's going to happen when you move here? Does this mean, do I still only see you on the weekends? Like, it's weird. Like, I don't know what the next step is.
Right.
And I said, and if we fight, are you allowed to kick me out? Or do we have to, like, work it out? Like, I don't get it. I don't know what to do.
I can understand the desire to have that kind of, what's the word I'm looking for? Just that kind of excitement that you don't know is part of the excitement on why you probably shouldn't move in with them now.
Yeah.
Like, learning how to do those things when you're married to me could be exciting also.
I just think it'd be too much of a culture shock. I got to be honest with you. I think that there are so many couples. I would love to see the statistics on couples who were long distance and then moved in together because I don't think that percentage is going to be good either.
I don't know. Hey, Dion, good morning. You're on Q100.
Hi, Bert. How you doing?
Okay. Thanks for calling. What's up?
My husband and I just had this very same conversation, and we were talking about it just the other day. We're happily married with 2 children, and we did the traditional thing. We didn't live together before we got married, and we regret it because his job was like 5 minutes down the road from my apartment, and he went and bought a condo just so that we could, you know, save face in front of both of our parents, and, you know, because they're more traditional, and we look back on it, and we're just like, that was crazy because we could have saved so much money, and it was just to appease them, and I feel like you should start your own family culture because you never know. I mean, his sister is now getting ready to move in with some guy and nobody's saying anything. And we have kids and we were thinking traditionally your grandparents are around and help you out. They're not helping us out. So it's like to, you know, just go away, do away with what you think that other people might think and just do what feels best for you because that really probably would have been best for us. But we were thinking about everybody else.
Don't you think, though, that it set up the relationship with your future in-laws, that you respected them and you respected their wishes, so you enter into that family with their respect?
Right. We entered into that family with respect and expectation, though. They had expectation of us, and we had expectation of them. And so I don't necessarily—I mean, everybody's happy-go-lucky, but our expectations weren't met, and we tried so hard to meet theirs.
There really is no right or wrong answer. The only right answer is what's right for you and Jason. You know, advice is such crap when it comes to relationships. It really is. When it comes to relationships, you know, we had Tracy on earlier this morning, and we were talking about how she was mothering. Do you have the child in the bed with you or not? It is all crap because you're so unique. She's unique. Scott's unique. Their child is unique. You're unique. Jason's unique. And it's a unique situation. Do what you want
to
do.
But we all love to judge.
Right.
So whatever you do, we're going to tell you screwed
I'm here
up.
And for you to judge me.
Everybody's advice is going to come from their personal experience. If their experience and the way they did it is working for them, that's their advice. If they went through it and it didn't work for them, they're going to give you the opposite advice. So really what it comes down to is do what you want.
Yeah, and if people listened to me and did what they wanted and didn't care about advice, we would have no show. So let's not go with that theory.
Hey, The Bird Show. Moto Casino. America's social casino. Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends, with thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.